The Moro conflict in the Philippines is an insurgency in Mindanao that began in 1969, caused largely by disputes on land ownership between Moro Muslims and the Christian Filipinos resettled by the Philippine government from Visayas and Luzon. In the early years of the Marcos regime, the government enlisted the help of a militia to help fight against Moro guerrillas. This militia earned a reputation for being a ruthless band of killers that left thousands of casualties in their wake. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify with new episodes out every Friday. This is the first of two parts on the Christian extremist paramilitary group, the Ilaga, and some of the massacres they were involved in Mindanao. Part 2 next week will be on the murder of Italian priest Father Tullio Favalli and what happened to Norberto Bucay Manero Jr., the Ilaga's most notorious leader. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of these stories. The term Moro comes from the Latin word Mauro, who were the inhabitants of the ancient Roman province of Mauritania in northwest Africa, which today comprises of the modern Muslim states of Mauritania, Morocco, and Algeria. The term came to be extended to Muslims in general and was used by the Spanish when referring to the Muslim communities in the Philippines when they conquered the archipelago in the 1500s. At that time, the Moros in the country included the Muslim Tagalogs ruled by the Sultanate of Brunei, but they were conquered by the Spanish in the 1578 Castilian War. The Moro Muslim Sultanates in Mindanao resisted subjugation for more than 400 years, battling constantly to preserve their rich land and culture. They continued their resistance even after the Philippines was granted independence by the United States, particularly because the American colonial government and, subsequently, the Philippine government had been pursuing a policy of migration that since the early 1900s had been encouraging the resettling of Christian Filipinos from the islands of Visayas and Luzon. By the late 1960s, Christian Filipinos were close to outnumbering the Moro Muslims of Mindanao, and tensions between the two groups had been steadily building up. As the number of Christian Filipinos increased in the region, poverty plagued the Moro Muslim population, which led to more of them engaging in banditry and rebellion. March 18, 1968 reignited the call for Moro independence when, under the rule of President Ferdinand Marcos, Moro Muslim army recruits who were in an operation in Corregidor were allegedly killed by soldiers of the armed forces of the Philippines. The incident came to be called the Jabida Massacre, but because there was little to no documentation about it, some people have interpreted the massacre to have never taken place. The narrative behind the incident, nevertheless, was that the Moro recruits refused to continue their training and demanded to be returned home. Some of them were allowed to go home, while others were transferred to a regular military camp in Luzon. But at least 11 of the recruits were allegedly shot to death by army troops, with only one survivor managing to escape. 2 months later, on May 1, 1968, former Cotabato Governor Datu Udtog Matalam formed the Muslim Independence Movement, or MIM, to seek the establishment of an autonomous Muslim state. The organization was renamed the Mindanao Independence Movement, and though it was short-lived and didn't turn out to be a popular secessionist movement, it would be the precursor of the Moro National Liberation Front, or MNLF, formed by University of the Philippines professor Nur Miswari. A training program for Muslim guerrilla fighters was initiated in 1969, supposedly by Miswari himself, who had already accepted the inevitability of an armed struggle to achieve Muslim independence. Miswari had no resources of his own, so he used his association with established Muslim politicians to finance this operation. Through his close connection with Muslim Congressman Rashid Luqman, he and a group of other young Muslim recruits were able to train with professional military instructors in the forests of Malaysia. Panic swept across the Christian communities in Mindanao upon hearing rumors of these young Muslims receiving military training overseas. In September 1970, these Christians, led by the so-called Magnificent Seven or Magic Seven, who were Ilonggo mayors of central Mindanao, organized a self-defense group to protect themselves and their families. The militia came to be known as the Ilaga, which is the Ilonggo word for rats, and believed to be an acronym for Ilonggo Land Grabbers Association. The Ilaga was composed mostly of members of the Lumad tribe of Tirurais, and it was led by an Ilonggo farmer from Antique named Feliciano Luces. Luces' first known fight happened 6 months earlier in March 1970 in the town of Upi, Cotabato, where he fought against a Muslim gang notorious for being used by influential Muslims to scare off inhabitants of land they wanted to get their hands on. Following his victory in this fight, Luces was touted by the newspapers as a sort of Robin Hood, who championed the interests of the poor Christians in the area. Luces, also known as Commander Toothpick for his slender frame, was the protege of retired Philippine Constabulary Officer Manuel Tronco, who, with another retired PC officer, Carlos Cahelo, nurtured the Ilaga movement. Tronco was a mayoral candidate in UPI, and he used the Ilaga to his political advantage. Other Christian politicians in Mindanao soon followed suit. They supplied the Ilaga with weapons and used them to terrorize their Muslim opponents, thinking that all Moro Muslims were MNLF members rebelling against the government. The Ilaga grew in number, with many of their members believed to be prisoners freed by the government on the condition that they would fight against the MNLF. Their incentive was that they could do whatever they wanted with the Moros and take whatever they could from them. Under the leadership of Luces, the Ilaga gained a reputation for being a ruthless band of killers, mutilating their victims and marking their bodies with crosses, and looting and burning entire villages to the ground. They engaged in battle with Moro Muslim groups like the Blackshirts of Cotabato and the Barracudas of Lanao, and they even occasionally clashed with the armed forces of the Philippines themselves, with whom they were supposed to be working. One of the most documented acts of brutality linked to the Ilaga is the Manili Massacre in June 1971. The Muslim residents of the town of Manili in Carmen, North Cotabato, were gathered in a mosque for a supposed peace talk with Christians when a group of armed men dressed like Philippine Constabulary members opened fire on the Moro Muslims, injuring 17 people and killing 70, including women and children. Luces was tagged as the primary suspect, but the Ilaga's affiliation with President Marcos came to be apparent when Luces was released after he surrendered to him at the Malacañang Palace. A lesser-known but equally gruesome incident that on the surface seemed to have had the Philippine Army behind it happened that same year in Magsaysay, Lanao del Norte. Moro Muslims had been displaced to various evacuation centers due to an earlier violent incident in the municipality. They were being brought back to their homes so they could participate in the local elections that year, when 5 truckloads of them were stopped at a military checkpoint in Barangay Tacub in Kauswagan, Lanao del Norte. Unaware of what was happening, they were asked to get down from their trucks and line up as military personnel surrounded them. They were then executed by firing squad, and though the body count is unconfirmed to this day, different local witness accounts and media reports say that it was anywhere from 30 to 66 Moro Muslims, and that among the military personnel involved were members of the Ilaga. From 1970 to 1971, in only a year since the group's formation, the Ilaga was reportedly involved in 21 massacres that left 518 people dead, 184 injured, and 243 houses burned. These atrocities only escalated the Moro secessionist activities in the region, continuing the cycle of animosity between Christian Filipinos and Moro Muslims, and bolstering the Moro population's negative sentiments against the Philippine government. In 1972, President Marcos signed Proclamation No. 1081, which formally declared martial law in the country, enabling Marcos to rule by military power. That same year, the Ilaga joined the government's irregular paramilitary force called the Barangay Self-Defense Unit, or BSDU, which had Carlos Cahelo, one of the first PC officers to nurture the Ilaga, as one of the unit's organizers. The Ilaga was later divided into various groups: the Pulahans or Reds, Itumans or Blacks, Grenans or Greens, and Putians or Whites. Each group was mostly identified through their commander, continuing the tradition of giving commander nicknames to their leaders. The Manero family was part of the Pulahan group, and their commander was Norberto de Duro Manero Jr., or more popularly, Commander Bukay. He was one of the 9 sons of Norberto Manero Sr., a World War II veteran originally from the western Visayan province of Iloilo. Manero Sr. was proud to have raised anti-Muslim and anti-communist sons, and he had the same ferocity that his son Bukay would eventually become notorious for. According to Manero Sr., he himself killed one of his other sons and buried him in a tomb that served as their dinner table inside their house. Despite being referred to as Christians, the Ilagas' ideology was more like folk Catholicism, with a firm belief in talismans called anting-anting, which in their case was made from human bones and ears that they severed from their victims, a practice that Feliciano Luces was said to have begun. The Ilaga mixed religious rituals with their armed activities, and they would come together for an assembly called the Rainbow Coalition. During the Holy Week, they would assemble in a place they referred to as the New Israel, somewhere in the mountains of North Cotabato, where they performed rituals, chanted, and made amulets under the leadership of a Suprema or High Priestess. Aside from their smaller anting-antings, special vests were made and blessed by the Suprema to grant their wearers invincibility. Bukay had his own enchanted vest, which he would wear during the many assaults he would lead the Ilaga through in his lifetime. Bukay met a woman named Leonarda Lacson in the Rainbow Coalition, and she would end up becoming his common-law wife with the alias Commander Inday. Soon they would grow to be major military assets, particularly after Bukay became commander of the entire BSDU formation in North and South Cotabato. One of the major assaults associated with the Ilaga with Bukay at the helm happened on September 24, 1974 in Palimbang, Sultan Kudarat. In the midst of the Feast of Ramadan, 1,500 male Moros were killed inside a mosque in Barangay Malispong. 3,000 women and children were detained, with the women, young and old, being raped, and 300 houses were burned to the ground. For more than a month, other residents of the area, including barangay officials, were either captured or murdered, with witness testimonies saying that some victims were made to strip and dig their own graves before being shot to death. Another Ilaga assault reportedly happened on October 5, 1977 in Sarangani Island, Davao del Sur. Heavily armed men arrived at Batuganding, gathered the municipality's residents, and announced to them that they'll be given rice, dried fish, canned goods, and other food items. The men asked who among the residents had the surnames Bagus and Cortez, to which 15 people raised their hands, thinking they would be the first ones to receive goods. The 15 were taken to the men's barracks where they were hogtied. One by one, their ears were sliced off, and they were later brought to a nearby school compound and hacked to death. The 1977 abduction and execution, reportedly of two Moro rebels in South Cotabato named Ali and Mambawatan Mamalumpong, was one of the last acts of brutality to be attributed to the Ilaga and one of the first ones to put Bukay's name in the papers. That same year, President Marcos issued a decree establishing the Organization of the Civilian Home Defense Force, or CHDF, which was an iteration of the Barangay Self-Defense Unit. The CHDF had more than 70,000 members, which still included the Ilaga, and continuing their purpose of assisting in the AFP's counterinsurgency campaigns, they were deployed wherever they were needed, from small barangays needing village defense to, unofficially, governors and mayors needing their own private armies. They would later be known as the perpetrators of the worst human rights violations during martial law, notorious for abusing their power over the territories they were guarding. While the CHDF was under military control for counterinsurgency operations in general, the Ilaga continued to be a militia actively fighting against Moro insurgency. The CHDF, Ilaga, and Philippine Army altogether are believed to have destroyed thousands of Moro houses, mosques, schools, and other properties, and they reportedly have claimed the lives of around 10,000 people. Feliciano Luces passed away in 1982 at the age of 41, but Norberto Bukay Manero Jr., who was then already in his late 30s, continued to lead the Ilaga against Muslim and communist rebels in the early 1980s. On April 11, 1985, Bukay and his men would conspire to get rid of suspected communist sympathizers in Tulunan, North Cotabato, and it would end in one of the most well-known crimes linked to Bukay, the murder of an Italian priest by the name of Tulio Favalli. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. Stay tuned next week for part 2 of this episode, which is about the murder of Father Tulio Favalli and where Norberto Bucay Manero Jr. is today. To make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This episode was written, narrated, and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.